Sometimes it's a struggle to find that one thing that will separate your idea from the pack. By using such tools as innovation maps, you can find that new idea, that one that falls into the white space where nobody has gone before, to create the next killer innovation. I'll be right back.
This is the Killer Innovations Podcast with Phil McKinney. Keep in mind that the information and opinions expressed in this podcast are Phil's and Phil's alone, and they don't necessarily reflect those of his past, current, or future employers. Now, here's Phil McKinney.
As I've said many times before, truly new innovations are extremely rare. In most cases, innovations are built upon some concept that has already existed. Some kind of an improvement. And let's face it, the iPod was not the first music player. Ford was not the inventor of the automobile. And Edison was not the inventor of the light bulb. Now, I know I'm bursting a lot of your bubbles on perceptions of people who've really gone out there and created those breakthrough ideas. But neither the iPod, Ford, or Edison really created something new. They built upon concepts and ideas that already existed. What each of these innovations did was find the white space and established area that allowed them to dominate their market. Well, what do I mean by white space? A white space is a unique set of attributes not in existing products that customers truly value. A white space being someplace totally new where your competitors currently aren't focusing. So again, it's a unique set of attributes not in existing products that customers will truly value. The term comes from the concept of an innovation map. An innovation map is really a two-dimensional graph that I use to identify white space opportunities. Now, in order to find these new opportunities, you need to lay out the innovation map of your market, your industry, your customer segment, whatever is meaningful to you and your market. Now, keep in mind, don't get caught up in looking at it the same way as everybody else does. You need to do it differently. So, how do you do these innovation maps? First off, define two characteristics that are meaningful to you, whatever they might be. Now, what I tend to use is on the horizontal axis, I lay out quality. On the vertical axis, I lay out either convenience or experience. Now, sometimes I'll intermingle the two, and in some cases, I'll actually use one word to mean both characteristics. Horizontal axis is quality. Vertical axis is either convenience or the user experience. Why do I pick these two? Because if you look at most of the breakthrough innovations, the iPod, the automobile, the light bulb, they focused on changing one or both of these two characteristics. And what you tend to find in most innovations and most companies, especially the established leaders, is they have focused on one. They have focused on quality or they have focused on convenience. It's very hard for them to focus on both. If you lay out your competitors, you lay out your industry, you can find the white space. Where all of your competitors are focused on one area, you can focus on the other area. Next, draw a chart. Horizontal is convenience, the vertical axis is quality, and lay out kind of the history of your industry. What did it get started from? Where is it today? Where could it possibly go? So in this case, let's talk about music. And there's been a lot of focus on the iPod as really being that killer breakthrough idea for the last couple of years. But if you look back and laid out the innovation map, could you have been Steve Jobs and identified the white space area that the iPod dominated? So again, quality vertical, convenience on the horizontal. Starting in the lower left-hand corner, what was the first thing that really kind of brought music into kind of that portable space? Well, I would put there the AM radio. And let's face it, the battery-powered, transistorized radio of the late 50s really was kind of the starting point when you think about being able to take your music with you and make it portable. Next up, you could think of things like cassette tapes, LP vinyl, whatever the next link you think it is. Next up would be CD. Now, these are kind of getting a little bit towards the convenience side, so they're kind of going up and to the right. They're improving in quality from the original AM radio, which was only a mono. And then what happened with CDs? Basically, you saw a jump to the right with the advent of the MP3 players. In many cases, you know, MP3 does not even give you really the CD quality, so you could actually put it a little bit lower on the quality line, but it clearly made it more convenient in the fact that I could put it onto my PC and my laptop. With the advent of MP3 players, I could carry it with me. And then what was next? Well, what Steve and the team at Apple uncovered was the fact that convenience had a huge opportunity to the right, meaning that there was a huge white space in the fact that it was still very hard. You had to burn your CDs, you had the whole issue of the record industry and copyright protection and DRM and all those issues. And what Steve identified was the fact that there was this huge white space opportunity to the right in order to create a significant improvement in the convenience factor for you being able to carry your music with you. And that white space turned into being the launch of the iPod. So again, the key here was that rather than just focusing on just the quality, meaning, okay, you could argue which audio compression, whether it's MP3 or any of the other compression technologies that are out there, are going to deliver you better quality. Apple really kicked in was the issue of convenience. And not just convenience for the user, but also it created a convenience for the music industry and their ability to sell their music in new ways to customers and hopefully combat against the issues of copy protection, etc. So the key there was the fact that by laying out that map, starting with the AM radio, going to cassette/vinyl LP, going to CDs, the jump from CDs to MP3s, then what happened was is that you could see the white space to the right where convenience, radically changing the convenience factor, is what launched the iPod and the success that you've seen from that. But don't stop there. What are some other kinds of roadmaps or innovation maps that you could lay out from the standpoint when you think about music? Well, one is just to think about quality from the standpoint of mono to stereo. So again, if you laid out an innovation map that said lower left-hand corner is AM radio, coming up was FM radio with the advent of stereo, and then the stereo, high-quality stereo that you now have in your homes and in your MP3 players, with the advent of 5.1 surround sound, and now with the emergence of 7.1 surround sound and high-definition radio, you can start to see the launch of the quality curve coming with the quality of the music sound that's being delivered to you both in your home, your office, and in your portable players. But if you laid out this innovation map of AM radio mono, FM radio, stereo, 5.1 surround sound, 7.1 surround sound, what are the white space opportunities here? Everything is focused on quality. The white space is to the right on the convenience. So what innovations or what ideas could you come up with to create a killer innovation in the area of stereo or high quality audio sound? So for instance, could you invent a way to have 5.1 surround sound without the hassle of the wires? Now for any of you who hooked up 5.1 surround, whether it's in your desk or even in your office at home or in your living room on your off of your new high-definition TV, you know it's a hassle. You got to run these wires along the baseboards. So could you create some kind of significant innovation to the right that would improve the convenience factor of having 5.1? Quality is marching along the white spaces to the right on your innovation map with regards to convenience. So could you invent a way to have 5.1 surround without the hassle of the wires? What about 7.1, which is the new emerging surround sound experience? Don't settle for doing the same as everyone else. You need to find those new white space areas. And always don't look at your industry or your marketplace in the same way. Don't think about it the same way that everybody else does. Come up with your own characteristics. In my case, I tend to find that quality and convenience are the first step at trying to identify what are some of the unique characteristics. Now, in some cases, it may involve me coming up with some additional characteristics to get down below to the next level of detail. But start someplace. Start with the fact that you need to find where's everybody else marching? What's kind of the trend line for the next level of innovation? 5.1, 7.1 surround sound, what are we going to do? Go to 9.1 surround sound? What the heck does that mean? I don't know. But you can see the trend that the industry is going on. Go to the white space. Find something different. And by finding these white spaces, and by finding these innovations and ideas in these white spaces, you can discover the possible unmet needs and create the next killer innovation. This week's killer question is tied to the whole concept of white space innovations. So, if you agree with me that quality and convenience are the right characteristics, then what are some of the right killer questions to ask yourself and your team? So, and again, look beyond the obvious. So, here are a set of killer questions tied to convenience and quality to force you and your team to think differently about how you win in the white space innovations. First, what is inconvenient about purchasing my product? What is inconvenient about purchasing my product? Now, I can speak from personal experience given the holiday season and some of the absolute horrible shopping experiences I've had over the last couple of weeks. And believe me, if anybody can come up with a better shopping experience, I'm all for it. So what is inconvenient about purchasing my product? What is inconvenient about using my product? Now, I've beat on this horse many times in previous podcasts. I'm not going to beat on it here, but simplicity is the key. It's very easy to make a product hard to use. It's very hard to make a product easy to use. So what is inconvenient about using my product? Next, what is inconvenient about disposing of my product? Now, this is becoming an increasingly important area. It's becoming increasingly important for certain consumers in certain market segments, electronics being one, is what is the entire life cycle of the product? Meaning, if I buy it, I use it, what do I do with it when I'm done? You just can't dispose of them normally. But can you create a unique experience for your customer to where you'll take that product off their hands and properly dispose of that in order to make it an entire life cycle from a standpoint of managing the experience? It's a unique area, someplace you should look into. And then the other area is on quality. What could I charge if I improved the quality by 5x? Whatever the measurement is for your quality, what could you charge if you can improve the overall quality of your product 5x? What would the customer be willing to pay for that? Think about high-end automobiles, high-end electronics, high-performance computing, whatever. If you could increase the quality of your product 5x, what could you charge? And in addition to that, what single component, if you redesigned it, could significantly improve the quality? Now, be honest with yourself. Go look at your product. Go look at what your competitors are doing in those product areas. Find that one area that if you made a significant amount of improvement, whether that's a new design, new innovation, entirely new way to do it, but it would significantly improve the quality of your product, what would it be? And then what were some ideas in order to solve the quality issue with that one component? So again, I'm going to run through all these questions again. First, what is inconvenient about purchasing my product? Two, what is inconvenient about using my product? Three, what is inconvenient about disposing of my product? Four, what could I charge if I improve the quality by 5x? And what single component, if redesigned, could significantly improve the quality? Now use these answers to find those white space opportunities. Look at your product, look at your market segment differently than your competitors and others in your industry. Use the answers to these questions to come up with that white space innovation and to develop that truly innovative breakthrough and to come up with that next killer innovation. This week's closing thought, again, is on the whole concept of white space innovation. Now, as I said before, innovations build on each other. Again, the iPod was not the first music player. Ford did not invent the automobile. What Ford invented was an economical way to manufacture the automobile to improve the quality and to improve the experience from the standpoint of making the product more affordable to a broader market segment. Same thing with Edison. He did not invent the light bulb. What he invented was the overall system of electronic generation, electricity distribution, and improved the light bulb from the standpoint of its ability to last longer, meaning convenience, from the standpoint that you wouldn't have to change it sooner. But again, innovations build on each other. In each of those cases, you could look at early entrants into the market that broke through onto new areas, and the real winners are the ones that can look at the current leaders, look for those white spaces, and therefore be able to dominate by moving into the white space areas. So again, innovations build on each other, but sometimes this creates a path that becomes overly crowded. Everybody's going along the same path, stereo, 5.1 surround, 7.1 surround. To win, you need to find a new path. You need to find a path out into the white space, out into the areas where others are not going, and find those things that customers truly value. Myrtle Strode said it best, "Do not follow where the path may lead. Go instead where there is no path and leave a trail." Thanks again for listening to this week's podcast. Please send your feedback to podcast@killerinnovations.com. You can also Skype me at Phil_McKinney. You can also connect our networks via LinkedIn. Send me an invite to podcast@killerinnovations.com. Please note that you are a listener. I get a lot of invitations from LinkedIn, and unless I see that you are a listener, I normally don't accept. So if you notify me via your invite that you are a listener to this podcast, I'll go ahead and accept that invite, and we can connect our networks. The Killer Innovations CD project is underway. For those of you who are new listeners, I've gotten a lot of requests over the last 18 months since I've been producing these podcasts about putting together kind of a best of, or at least put together the content from the podcast into kind of a CD format, 60 minutes, that you can then share with managers, your executives, and your team members, people who normally maybe not listen to a podcast or who don't download music, etc., but put into a format that you could share that kind of gives them kind of the overview, background, and the whole philosophy behind the Killer Innovations methodology, but also why innovation is important for corporations today. So the Killer Innovations CD project is underway. Please continue to send me your thoughts and your ideas. So the questions I'm looking for you to answer are, would you share the CD if it were available, and who would you share it with? Keep in mind that the cost will be zero for all intents and purposes. What content do you want to see on the CD? So you've listened to these podcasts. Many of you have gone back and listened to all the shows, and now I think I've lost track of how many shows there are, probably up towards 70 shows now, which means there's 35 or 40 hours of podcast content out there on innovation now. But what content, what were your favorite shows that you would want to make sure that the basis of that content made it onto the CD? So again, let me know. Send me your feedback at podcast@killerinnovations.com. Also, I'm looking for feedback on the audio quality of the podcast. This last week, I've made some significant investments in new microphones, new equipment to do the recording, etc., in order to try to improve the quality. I've gotten a couple of emails on people with some suggestions to improve the audio quality, so I'm looking for feedback on how this sounds, so let me know. Also, we're at the first of the month, since this is the first podcast for 2007. At the beginning of every month, there is voting that goes on in amongst all the podcasters based on the listeners. So this is the best opportunity for you to kind of give feedback to the producers of your favorite podcast that you appreciate all the time and effort they put in to producing the best content out there. So go out there, go to Podcast Alley, Podcast Pickle, dig.com, and vote for your favorite podcast and let other listeners know that you do what you listen to and why. So again, thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule to listen. I know it takes time out to do the downloads, to listen to the content, to provide feedback, to participate in the Killer Innovations community. And if you're not a participant in the KI community, go out to killerinnovations.com, click on the community tab, go on out there, participate in the conversations, contribute, learn. There's a lot of really top-notch innovators that participate in the KI community site. There's an opportunity for you to learn beyond just what you hear here in the podcast. So again, thanks. I really do appreciate you taking the time out to download and listen to the podcast. And remember, pay it forward. I get a lot of questions as to why I produce these podcasts. It is my way to pay it forward for mentors earlier in my career who invested their time and energy into me. And I'm doing this podcast as my way of fulfilling an obligation that I made to those mentors to pay it forward to others and for me to pass on my experiences and my expertise and my knowledge to others. So here's your opportunity. All I ask is that you pay it forward. If you find the podcast beneficial and helpful to you, pay it forward by telling others. Again, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.